There's always that one kid in class, isn't it? I just play injuries. We're glad you're with us tonight. And I know it's the 4th of July. It's a holiday. And I know many folks are celebrating and doing other things. And I know there were a lot of churches canceled tonight. And I just wasn't going to do that. I thought, you know what, we're going to be here for ones that want to be here. And they can come or they can do what they want to do. But we'll be here. So glad you're with us tonight. We'll do something a little bit different. We've got a patriotic song. I think it's fitting we do that tonight. If you will stand with me, and the words will be up there, and you know, you can just either sing along or just meditate while it's being sung, whichever you want to do. But this is a beautiful patriotic song, and you will know it when you hear it, to honor our nation and the blessings of God in our lives.
That shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer, and be jubilant, my feet. His truth is marching on. That transfigures you and me as he died to make men holy. Let us live to make men free.
Have a seat. His truth is still marching on, is it not? The truth of God is marching through every generation, through every cultural change, through every season, through every time. It can't be stopped. No matter what man tries to do, what man tries to say, what laws are passed, it cannot be stopped. As we can see, nothing can stop the promise of God. And I'm thankful for that. We talked last week about part one. This is part two. This will be it tonight on this little message. You might remember what we talked about last week. The donkey. What about the donkey, Jamie? It talked. Yeah. God used a donkey to talk. And if you remember last week, we talked about how the king of Moab had called Balaam the prophet, if you want to call him a prophet, who did all kinds of work in, you know, did all kinds of stuff in the spirit realm, but not really God stuff. Called him and says, I want you to curse the people of Israel because they're marching toward my city now, and I've heard what they've done, I've seen what they've done, and we're scared. So I need you to curse them so they don't destroy us, that we can overtake them. So he gets on his donkey. He's on his way for wages, of course, for money, to curse the people of Israel. And something happens. The donkey stops one time. He hits the donkey. Then the donkey went on a little bit more, and it stopped again. And it crushed his foot against the wall, and he hit his donkey again. Then a third time, the donkey just lay down underneath him, and he hit the donkey again. And the donkey turned around. Wow. That's some God stuff there. I'm so sorry. It's my mother texting. She's here. Okay. Anyway. That was perfect timing. So the donkey turned around and talked to the prophet and says, why are you hitting me? Have I not served you faithfully all of my days? The reason the donkey kept stopping was there was an angel in front of him, and the prophet couldn't see it, but the donkey could. So God spoke to the prophet Balaam and says, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to, you know, whatever. And so we end up in we're in chapter 22 right now, verse 41. We'll read that very last verse so we can pick up where we left off, 22:41. And at first, you know, he says he couldn't do it because God wouldn't let him curse him. But then in 41, it says, it came to pass on the next day that Balak, which is the king, took Balaam, the false prophet, brought him up to the high place of Baal, and thus he might see the uttermost part of the people. So the king's got him up there. Look at all these people. Here's who I'm scared of. Here's who I want you to curse. Will you curse them so we can destroy them? So we're going to start in 23 now, and we'll read through get through this pretty steady here. Balaam said to Balak, remember Balaam's the prophet, Balak's the king. And Balaam said to Balak, build me here 7 altars, prepare me 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said to Balak, stand by the burnt offering, and I will go peradventure the Lord will come to me to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell you. And he went on to a high place. And God met Balaam, the prophet, and said to him, I have prepared 7 altars. I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. There's a great revelation in that alone, isn't it? That we just speak what God gives us. We don't say nothing else. We don't add nothing else. There's times we just speak what he gives us. A lot of times our flesh gets in the way. We want to say stuff that's not true or that, you know, it's not right. If we would just learn to follow God's lead in the Spirit and just speak what he gives us, we would save ourselves a lot of problems. He returned to him and said, lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. So Balak is with, or the prophets with all these princes and with the king. They're all wondering what he's going to say. He took up this parable and said to Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come curse me, Jacob, and come defy Israel. Now look at verse 8 here. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? That's pretty powerful. We know that people come against our lives, but if God's in it, it will not prosper. Romans 8:31 says this. Might be a familiar verse to you. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? just goes perfect with that, doesn't it? If God is on our side, who can be against us? No matter what chips are stacked against you, no matter what's against your life tonight, if God is for you, he will work it out and he will bless you. He will make sure those against you will not stand and they will not prosper. Verse 9, from the top of the rocks I seen him, and from the hills I beheld him. The people shall not dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? What that means is they were only seeing a portion of the people of Israel where they were standing, only a portion of the whole army. Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak, the king, said to Balaam the prophet, what hast thou done unto me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them all together. Think about this. He's paying him, offering to pay him, to curse them, but he can't. Why can't he? It's not that he don't want to. He wants the money. He wants the moolah. He wants the change. But he's speaking what God puts in his mouth. We first of all see how God overshadowed a donkey's mouth. Now we're seeing God overshadow the prophet's mouth. That God is in this, and he will not allow a curse to be placed upon his people. More than that, we know God's over a curse. It's more even than that. It's that he is not going to let this false prophet even participate in doing this against his people. He's going to show them that I'm over you, I'm stronger than you, I'm greater than you, I'm more powerful than you, and these are my people. I promised them a land. We read that last week in Genesis, where he says that I promise you a land. This land I will give you. As a sand is not numbered, so shall my people be, and my seed shall be. This was a promise. The people of Israel had escaped 400 years of slavery. They had crossed the Red Sea. They had seen all these miracles. Their clothes hadn't wore out. Their shoes hadn't wore out. No sickness and disease. They were fed manna every day. They were guarded. They were protected. They were kept. All of these years, God had promised them a land. And this little old prophet sure wasn't going to mess that up by trying to put a curse on the people. He wasn't going to let it happen. He shut their mouths. There's times we need God to shut people's mouths, don't we? Just shut their mouth. Lord, just shut their mouth. Just close it. Just zip it. As old Barney Fife says, nip it in the bud, right? Zip. Just nip it. We need sometimes people just to nip it, but they don't. They keep on and keep on running their mouth. But God's in all this. He answered, verse 12, and said, must I now take heed to speak to that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? So he's going to tell him what the Lord has said. Balak says, come, I pray you, with me into another place from where thou mayest see them. So now he's taking him to another area. Say, well, let me take you and show you. There's more people still trying to convince him to carry out this plan. They shall see the uttermost part of them and shall see them all and curse me from hence. And he brought him to the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars there, offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said to Balak, stand here by the burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder. See, yonder is really not a southern word. It's a Middle Eastern word. Yonder. And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth again and says, go to Balak and say this. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the prince of Moab, same situation. And Balak said to him, what has the Lord spoken this time? Is what he's saying. What's he got for you now? He took up this parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken to me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, he shall not make it good? Verse 20 is the key verse tonight for us to always remember this. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Hallelujah. Think about what the price Jesus paid for us. That's irreversible. It's a done deal. I don't care who says the cross didn't happen, it happened. Who says Jesus didn't rise from the dead, he rose. Who says that grace is not forever, it is. This cannot be reversed. When Jesus said, it is finished, and he uttered that on the cross, it's finished. It's done. It's complete. It's over. forevermore. I went behind the curtain. I went the holy place. I did what God called me to do. I am the perfect lamb. I am the perfect sacrifice. My blood was shed, and it's irreversible. No matter what man says, it's irreversible. No matter what riots they try to create, what kind of things they try to protest, it's irreversible. It's done. All the poster boards don't make it go away. All the atheist groups don't make it go away. All the naysayers don't make it go away. It is irreversible. And God is saying to Balak, here, hey, king, they're coming. They're on the way because I promised them a land. I've already said it's done, and it's done, and I'm not going to change it. Because I said it, and I've spoken it, and I promised it to them. It's done, and it's finished. I'm thankful we have the promises of God about our future and eternal life. As Randy said, all of us, unless the Lord returns, will go by the way of the grave. That is an absolute fact. We will go by the way of the grave unless the Lord returns first. But that's not the end of us. It's only the beginning of us. Because life has been swallowed up in death. Because of Jesus. And our life sentence we now have, and I call it a life sentence we have as Christians, that life sentence we've been given is irreversible. It can't be changed. It can't be erased. It can't be, the Bible talks about the eternity and the security of what Christ did for us. The security and the certainty of our future. 1 Peter says there is an inheritance that is incorruptible, that fadeth not away, that's reserved for us in heaven. And that's the promise I hang on to, and that's the joy that I have in the Lord, to realize, as we know, the older we get, the faster years go by. When you're a kid, man, you can't wait to grow up. And when you grow up, you wish you're a kid again. My daughter, my 23-year-old, is always saying adulting is hard. Not adultery, adulting. Make sure I say that correct. Adulting is hard because, wow, all of a sudden you're on your own, paying all your own bills. Mom and dad's not there. You're doing anything on your own. But you push your whole life to grow up. And then the older you get, the faster the years roll by. And before you know it, you're sitting there at 50. You're sitting there half a century old. You're like, my goodness, where has the time gone? I am thankful my time does not end when my date's inscribed in a tombstone. I'm so thankful my time doesn't end when a preacher says Pastor James's life is over. I'm so glad my time doesn't end there. But because of the irreversible promises of God, my time goes on and on and on. And though my flesh is gone, my soul is very much alive. And I'm so thankful for that. It's irreversible. That's a key verse to remember. Irreversible. The blessings of God on your life, his redemption plan, irreversible. What he done, irreversible. They can't uncross Jesus. They can't re-untomb him. All of that's done happened. It's done. It's irreversible. He hath not, verse 21, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen it perverseness in Israel. The Lord is God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. In other words, man, they're God's people, king. I can't help it. I'm just telling you what God told me. They're God's people, and you're not going to be able to stop them. God brought them out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down till he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. You know what he's saying? Look out, they're coming. These are God's people, God's promised seed. God's promised them a land, and they're going to rise up and take what God has told them to take. And nothing I can do, king, can stop it. I can't. God's in control of this. The one true living God is in control of this, and I can only speak what he's telling me to speak and nothing else. Once again, we would stay out of a lot of trouble if we would just speak what God's word says to speak. And there's a time to speak and a time to be quiet, as Ecclesiastes tells us, season for all things. And the people of Israel, their season is now, and nothing's going to stop it. Verse 25, Balak the king said to Balaam the prophet, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said to Balak, told not I thee all that the Lord speaketh, I must do? And Balak said to Balaam, come, I pray you, I will bring you to another place. Preadventure it please God, thou mayest curse me curse me them from there. Third time now. Okay, you wouldn't curse them over here. I took you to Southside States, but you won't curse them there. I took you to East Iredell County, you won't curse them there. Now let's go to West Iredell, show you the people over here. Come on, please. Just see, maybe God the third time will see it my way. Maybe somehow God will give you a different answer. He's done shut them down twice. Now for a third time, the king is begging his prophet, go see this group here, and let's see what God says now. And Balak brought Balaam to the top of Peor that looketh toward Jeshimon. And Balaam said to Balak, build me 7 altars, prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. You may wonder what's going on here. All this worship was part of the law, legalism, part of the law. He had to sacrifice and worship in order to get God's attention or hear from God. So that's why he was doing this. He was following protocol of what the law required. Chapter 24, verse 1. When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents, according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, having his eyes opened. How goodly are their tents, O Jacob, and the tabernacles, O Israel, as the valleys they are spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, as the trees lying aloes, which the Lord hath planted, as the cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations of his enemies. He shall break their bones. He shall pierce them with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam the prophet, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these 3 times. Wow. He wanted to pay him to curse him. A donkey tried to stop him. That didn't work. So now God changed his mouth. 3 different times this king tried to get this prophet to curse the people, and he wouldn't. And not only did he not curse them, but he actually blessed them 3 times, because God had a different plan than what the prophet had. Because these are God's people, and God's people are preserved, we are redeemed, we are sanctified, we are glorified, we are justified through the grace of Jesus. And all the gates of hell that prevail against us cannot reverse the price that was paid at Calvary. It cannot change it. Now all the cursing, all the negativity, all the thoughts against us, all the harm people try to bring against us, God can take what's meant for our harm and make it a blessing. God can take what's meant for our harm and make it good. God can take those that are enemies and cause them to be our friends. God can take those who mean us harm and bring us healing, because that's what God does, because we're God's people. And I trust that. So we see this story of this prophet who, for money and gain, was going to use his gifts in the Spirit to produce wealth in his life. But God would not allow that to happen. It took a donkey to talk. It took a prophet to listen. And it took him changing the very words of his mouth. And I guarantee you that Balaam was not happy about this. He wanted to do it to get the money. But he had to listen to God, and he had to follow God. He had to do it God's way, period. And I think about that so many times. Let's do it God's way. Let's God, put the words in my mouth I should speak, put the thoughts in my mind I should think, put the intent in my heart that you want me to be. Put those things, God, in me, that I'm not a Balaam, that I'm not looking for self-gratification, for self-pleasing results. But God, what you want is what I want. It's kind of like if you're married, the old saying, happy wife, happy life, right? And that's so true. Happy wife, happy life. That makes all the difference. Because I'm telling you, if Melanie is not happy, me is miserable. That's just how it is. And so I thank God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to be? What's your plan for my life? I love what Randy said earlier when he's talking about how be a lamp unto your feet, and how that we sometimes look way out yonder instead of looking step at a time. The reason the Bible says that was what Randy said, that faith is a walk that is a step at a time. Who wouldn't have faith if we could see it? You know, when we started this church, who wouldn't have faith if there was already a building, already people, already had land, land's paid for? Just, you know, that's not the same measure of faith as how this church started. Faith is step at a time, step, step, step. And as we follow God, as we listen to his voice, as we trust him, he will show us what to do for the next step. But we look way too far out and want the whole enchilada, the whole picture. And the whole picture is not meant to be seen because we couldn't handle the whole picture. But we can handle one step at a time. When your little baby first learns to walk, it's step at a time. It's a step or two, whoo, fall. It's okay. Step, falls. It's okay. Step at a time. The more steps that it takes, it gets more and more stability. And then it's running. And then it's all over the house. And you can't control it. Take step at a time in your spiritual walk. And let God light your path. And know that God promises cannot be stopped by man's agenda. You know, we're in a culture where a lot of things as Christians we should be against that society says is okay. But as Christians, we got to say, God, here's your word. Here's what man says. And I believe we honor law. We honor the rulers over us. We respect that authority unless it conflicts with God's authority and God's word. Then we choose God. Don't care that man has passed this. God hears your word. And what your word says is prevalent over everything else. I don't care how unpopular that I am, how alone I could be, how people, I'm an outcast because of how I stand, how I believe, how I feel. It's okay. God, your word. Those disciples were all martyred for the cause of Christ. Those 12 disciples were all killed, executed for the sake of Jesus. They were alone. And if they could have renounced Christ, they probably would have lived. But they didn't renounce Christ. They accepted the path they chose. And they said, you know what? I will not curse the one who saved me. I will take whatever it is you can give me because I'm out of your hands anyway. And I'm in the hands of God. I love the part where Stephen was getting stoned to death. The great man Stephen was being stoned for the cause of Christ. And I remember the Bible says that he looked up and he saw Jesus standing there. It gives me great hope to think that as we exit and transition from this life to the next, that there's not an alone moment. There's not a dark road we walk down wondering where we're at. But there's a reaching out hand. There's a guiding light. We see the eyes of our Father. We hear his voice. There's something that reaches out to us to bridge us through, that we're not afraid to let go. Because there is no fear in death, I believe, as a Christian. No fear in death as a Christian. Because God said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And I believe that means to the very, very end. And I am thankful for that. The promise of God won't be stopped. If people are against you, it's okay. The Bible says pray for your enemies. Pray for them. Bless those that curse you. It's like keeping coals of fire up on top of their head. And man, that's hard to do. Trust God. Follow God. Believe God. I mean, if God can use a donkey, he can use anything. And just so you know, this is found. Pull up my last week's message, part one, my slide for that one, and get to that verse in Peter. We talked about this last week. People's like, well, you know, donkey didn't really talk. That's just symbolic, pastor. Man, come on, get with it. We're in the 21st century. God was using that as an example. I love what it says here in Peter. I think it's 1 Peter there, Brandon. 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter 2:15, what it says. Now this is New Testament. We're talking about, this is 60-some years after Christ. Numbers, we're talking 1,500 years before Christ. They have forsaken the right way, and they've gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Think of the irony in this. A dumb donkey is what calmed a man down. It wasn't the madness of the donkey speaking. It was the madness of the man that the donkey calmed down. So I think it's very imperative we see that this exact name of the prophet and the exact story we read is reiterated in Peter. To me, which validates this happened. It wasn't just some thing. Also, Jonah is mentioned in the New Testament. Jonah specifically is mentioned in the New Testament. So, for people who think these stories are fables and they're just, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Look, I believe God can make anything speak. I think God could, he can make anything speak. He can make Jamie back there speak. Not quite he is. I mean, he can make Jamie rise up out of seat and says, "Thus saith the Lord thy God." You don't know what God can do. He can use anything. He can use anybody, any source, any way, anytime, anywhere. Just trust that and listen for that and say, "God, use me." Our whole thing for the kids' VBS this summer is let your light shine. Well, that applies to us as adults, too. We should be letting our light shine. Everywhere we go, our light should shine. Something about us should be so evident and different that it brings people. You know them old bug things you put out, them old zappers? Ooh, you hate to be a bug hitting one of them things? You hang them zappers on your porch. And that light, or something in it just draws them, right? You know they can't stop. It's like, I know it's bad. I just seen Fred die. But I can't stop. And it just dies. The light draws it. Man, the light of God should draw people to us. We shouldn't have to go around telling folks, "I'm saved, I'm born again Christian, I'm blood bought child, Lamb of God, hallelujah, praise you." Woo, hallelujah, I feel the Spirit up in here. We should have to go around saying that. They should know by looking at the fruit. What is it about you? Because see, when our spirit has been changed by God, that spirit, that inward transformation makes an outward manifestation. Always. Always. Don't have to tell somebody you're a Christian. Just be a Christian. Just be one. Walk like one. Talk like one. And just people will be drawn. They'll know something's different. We've all had the experience people knew were different. All of us have. Any comments tonight on this? Anything about the donkey, about the message? Get something ready to sing, Marjorie. Teresa? That's a good question. I don't know if I can answer that. Doesn't say why? I think God is just showing us that his supernatural powers and that he's over all creation. He's over all things. And you remember like Noah's Ark, how he drew the animals. That, you know, it wasn't like Noah's out there on a horse with a cowboy hat and a rope. Woo-hoo! Get that elephant. You know, I mean, that didn't happen that way. When the time came, God spoke and the animals heard. And they responded to his voice and began to flock to that place of safety. So don't know why he used a donkey. Maybe he just knew that it would be a great story down the road. I don't know. Wow, that's pretty deep. That was deep. Think about that. Yeah, you're right. That bug in its darkest time being swallowed was still shining the light in the darkness of that frog, and people are seeing that light. That's very, very good. Wish I thought of that. That's really good. What are we singing?
If you can use anything.
Huh?
If you can use anything.
Okay. Y'all stand on your feet. Let's sing together in closing. Sing this worship song together. Desperate. Lord, you can use us. It doesn't have to be a pastor. It doesn't have to be an evangelist. It doesn't have to be a big-time person. It can just be us, God. Just us in our workplace. It can be us at the gas station. It can be us in the grocery store. It can be us. Use us, God, to impact your kingdom. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and grace. And we thank you that your promises are irreversible. We thank you that we are blessed and we are not cursed. We thank you, God, that we are the head and we are not the tail. We thank you that we are first and we are not last because of the price you paid. We are your children. We are your seed forevermore and for everlasting. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, honor, and glory for all your blessings. Thank you for this country that we live in and this nation. Thank you, God, for the birth of this nation that we are free to worship you, God, our Creator. Thank you, Lord, for the prosperity that you have blessed us with. Thank you, God, for all the heritage that we have had. Thank you, God, for the sacrifice for the men and women who have died, Lord, to give us this freedom. We thank you, Lord, for your hand being upon this nation always, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name.